Can you hear me okay? Hey Debbie, can you hear me okay?
Yes.
All right, I can hear
Yep.
you. I muted it though right now, so. Mute. There we go. Denny, can you hear me okay? Hey, Denny, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you okay. Can you hear me?
Yep, you bet. I'm on mute right now for a second, though. Sounds good, though.
Okay, now can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, I can hear you good.
Hey, Rich, Osofsky, if you can hear me, I can tell that you don't have some sound hooked up right now. When you log in, it asks you where you're going to get your sound from. Just thought I'd give you a heads up so you can maybe try and figure out your sound before the meeting starts. So I don't know if Rich can hear me or not because I can't see him, but. You guys are too close together. You're going to have to find somewhere else to go. One of you.
That's affirmative.
Hey, Rich, can you hear me? Can you hear me okay? Rich Osofsky, can you hear me all right? Rich Osofsky, can you hear me okay?
Thank you.
Hey, Debbie. I know you've got yours muted. Can you unmute it and we'll see if we get feedback? Hey, there you are, Rich Olsowski. All right, looks like you guys have that feedback problem fixed.
Marty, can you hear me?
I can, yes.
Okay, no feedback. Okay.
It's kind of, you know, you might adjust your screen a little bit because it's cutting off your whole mouth there, but is Tish going to put the dog on?
Maybe. Hi, Rich.
Marty, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Thank you.
Looks like it's Mike. It looks like it's waiting for you to connect audio there. If you can hear me, Mike. Mike, can you hear me? Shake your head. Can you hear me, Mike? Doesn't look like it.
Does he have his audio? It doesn't look like he has his audio turned on.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, and he probably joined without audio.
Oh, there he goes. Now Mike's got audio. Can you hear me okay? You're just muted right now, so I'm going to unmute you. So, testing Mike. Mike.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now. All right. Just want to make sure you're working.
Okay. Sounds good.
Zoe's on Tish's channel there.
It's true, the camera puts on at least 20 pounds and probably 10 years, except for Ben, of course. Ben, you look like a high schooler.
Hey, I know. Sometimes I wish I looked older, okay? Like, sometimes I wish I looked my age.
I'd pay somebody to card me, you know?
And Ben, you got a haircut.
I did most of them.
I got a haircut no one noticed.
Wait, bend over, Sean. Let's see. Oh, yeah, there you go.
And Sean and Mike sporting beards tonight.
I'm not shaving until this is over.
Right then, so
do you think he's having trouble logging in,
Paul?
Yeah,
don't know.
I think we're ready.
Just waiting on Paul. All right, there's Paul. All right. All right, like to have those that are town council, you feel free to unmute yourself just so we can have a free flow conversation if we want to. And if everybody else could remain muted, unless you have something to say, then we can, you can wave at me, you can send me a chat message, you can raise your hand electronically on your computer. So if you click on your name, it says manage participants. If you click on that, click on your name, it allows you to do a raise hand or chat in that kind of a window. So so anyway, this is the town council regular meeting, April 1st, 2020. And this will be our first Zoom meeting where we're doing a virtual meeting. This is hopefully being streamed. It's live and it's also being streamed on YouTube. And so we're going to start off with our agenda. Let's start with the Pledge of Allegiance. It's what we normally do. It's just Sean and I, but you guys feel free to join in. But we'll rise for the Pledge of Allegiance. Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. Go ahead and do a roll call.
Debbie Kopp here.
Paul Edwardson here.
Mike, you're muted right now.
Mike, you're muted.
There you go. You're unmuted, Mike. Go ahead.
Mike McLaughlin here.
Danny Bass.
Danny Bass here.
Marty Lisenby here. And we also have Sean Guzman, town's attorney, present as well. And Ben Billingsley, he's muted right now, but he is also on this meeting call. So this will be kind of our first experience with trying to do a Zoom meeting. Do the best we can to get through this, and from there, trying to figure out how we can improve things for everybody. Mayor's town update, things are definitely different. We have 2 to 3 times a week the mayors get together on meetings, conference calls, not to name drop, but there's, you know, some high level people in government, and they help them agree to that participate in this. They give regular updates. And a couple things I'd like to point out. One of them is the Utah lead together operational plan executive summary. This is a document that was sent out to us by email. We're going to print this off because there's a lot of good information to the water bill that goes out in the next couple of days. And so people can look for that in the water bill notifications. We're trying to practice social distancing, basically. Some of the mayors want to tighten things down a little bit more. Some think that we've tightened it down too much already. And so it's anybody's guess which is the right answer right now. But I think that I like the way Sean put it earlier today. We were talking about this, and he said that we could have a social distancing and things down to the point that we look back a couple months from now and say, see, nothing happened. And the point would be that, yeah, nothing happened because we did all the social distancing. And so anyway, that's kind of the attitude that most of the mayors have. Most towns and cities are closing down all of their public facilities, even restrooms, everything. And there's so many places that you can come in contact with this virus. I've done a lot of studying on this. Can maintain the virus for as much as 6 hours, and you can end up picking up that virus in such a nonchalant way, or just off of a shopping cart, off of the door handle, off of, you know, there's so many places. And so this is going to be kind of our new norm for a while. We have any declaration of conflicts of interest from anybody?
No, sir.
No.
No.
Consent agenda. Have you guys had a chance to look at the expense reports and the monthly operating budget updates? Any questions on it?
I don't.
None for me.
On the monthly budgets, I have a question on the budget.
Yes.
Is what it is on items 4410, 4550, 560, 740, and 710. We've already exceeded our budget for the year for all the roads equipment stuff. Are we going to revise that budget, or are we going to let it ride until we do a new budget?
In this meeting, that's agenda item
2.
Number, item number 7 on our agenda today. We're going to just move some things around a little bit. Basically, on the budget, we have plenty of money in the budget. We'll probably have a surplus. Task Ben to come up with a number that projection, based on projections, what he thinks that number will be. So we can figure out, do we want to allocate some more money to some other project or improvement, whatever, in between now and then. And so we'll see where that ends up. But basically, I think we're headed towards having a little bit of a surplus at the minimum. But so some of these budget items that are coming into play, we've bought more diesel fuel. We've had some other expenses as far as repairs on equipment, things like that, that have put us over in a couple of categories. But we have other categories that are very low in, and we'll be just basically giving Ben permission to transfer those from one budget line to another. It's not really a budget amendment because we're not changing the bottom line numbers, only the line numbers in between. So that helps us.
All right. Thank you.
Reallocate it. So anyway, do we have a motion?
I make a motion that we accept the consent calendar as stated on the agenda tonight.
I'll second that.
Any other discussion on it from anybody?
No, sir.
Okay, we'll take a vote.
Mike McLaughlin, aye.
Debbie Cobb, aye.
Paul Edwardson, aye.
Danny Bass, aye.
And I'll vote aye as well. Thanks for your help. Item number 1 on our agenda is the discussion possible action on zone change application AB 1379-A-1 from rural estates to rural estates 2.5 to commercial C2. Applicant is My Living LLC, Kaiser and Mary Youssef. Planning Commission recommended approval 5-0. Conditional upon correct affidavit, which I understand is on hand. Is that right, Ben? Yes, because he's muted. So anyway, this was brought to my attention by Forrest Keening through grammar request that the parcels were not properly divided according to his research. And I was able to go through the town minutes. The Denver Webb is the one that is selling this property to USEF. She gave us documents, paperwork that shows that this was actually split legally. And I was able to find the minutes and the approvals in our planning commission and our town council meetings, both from February 16th is where the town council meeting was. It's the end of January where the planning commission was, and this was on the agenda and was approved. Lot split back in that time, and so anyway, I just anybody have a motion on this? How do you feel about that project?
One more question. Yeah. I noticed on there you didn't bring up, Mayor, was that the there was not going to be any cottages? It's just approved for just the hotel.
Um, What we're going to go over here is we're changing the zone to C2 if we like to do that on this property. What he does with the property, he can do anything that's in the C2 allowable zone at the time that he decides to actually come in for, you know, to do a preliminary plat or final plat. That still has to go to planning commission.
Marty. So we can still just go ahead and pass this, but without the cottages. I mean, at the very last page, I think staff, probably Ben, I imagine, looked up section 1010.030C Charlie B Boy, and the C2 zoning, as far as approved usages, does not include cabins or RV parks. So is that just a battle we're going to fight later, or I mean, I'm just wondering if he knows this and if he's just going to try to do it anyway or what?
My take on that is that we can't do cabins. If you look at the description in our about cabins, what it says is you have 400, or was it 450? Do you remember, Ben? I think it's 400 square feet. It was a limit on cabins. Everything that he's building is greater than that, and that's why he's calling them cottages, because they lack the square footage requirement. They're greater than that. He's calling them small hotel units, and hotels are allowable in this particular one. Time Mike Bursemack did this, he looked at it as cabins, but they're not. They're larger than cabins, because the cabins are limited to 400 square feet, and once you go beyond that, it becomes something else.
Sir, what you're saying is that he just needs to bring that before the planning commission anyway, and so we'll take it as it comes at that time.
Right.
Well, the planning commission had a note in on there that was not going to include the cabins. It was just including the hotel in the notes on our paperwork. And then did we have any letters of people that were against it? I noticed the letters shows the people the letters were supposed to go to on the zone change. Did we have any, I didn't see any letters in there or any negative response from the neighboring neighbors.
I was at the planning commission meeting when they had a public hearing as well, and then showed up, you know, opposing it as well.
Okay.
It's highway property. It's probably appropriate for that. On the hotel, my understanding is he drew in just it's kind of a crummy looking rendition of what he wants to do, but what he wants to do isn't really at question right now. It's whether or not we think that's a C2 property. Anything that we approve on C2 could basically be approved in that location if we say yes to this, and that's what we're really going for. But we do have a chance to look at his project, the ingress and egress and just everything about the project. There's some things I don't like about his project, but we get to address that another time. And I think everything I don't like about it's fixable. These are just access, and you know, I don't like the way he drew streets and so forth on his particular drawings that he did, but I think that he's willing to, I think we can come to a meeting of minds on those issues. He had drawn on the original drawing a hotel, and last time I talked to him, it sounded like that may even go away. And it could just be individual cottages. He's looking for probably barely under 500 feet, but some of them up to 200 square feet is what he had intended on putting in there. Some of them is, you know, two bedroom kind of units that would be a lot different from our experience.
I imagine maybe we're putting the cart before the horse if we're just going to vote on a zone change. We can certainly do that.
Right. And then we'll get to look at the project at a future date to determine
right
density and all the different issues. So anyway, any other questions?
Yep.
Well, I'll make a motion that we accept the application for the zone change of Baffle Valley 1379-A-1 from rural estates RE2.5 to commercial C2.
I'll second that.
Is that approved? Not accept.
Edit that.
Right. Just ask. Just clarify.
So, or to clarify that motion, that was to approve.
To approve.
Okay. And just for clarity, for the when they actually transpose the minutes, as opposed to accept, as I think the word you used. Any other discussion? Hey, should we vote on it then? Did we have a second on that, by the way?
Yes.
Well, either one of us.
And so did Denny.
Thanks for pick. All right, so vote.
Aye.
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 For purposes of the video watching.
Okay, names.
Let's go ahead and do names and aye each time, just because we are on
Mike McLaughlin, aye.
Debbie Kopp, aye.
Walt Edwardson, aye.
Danny Bass, aye.
And Marty's aye. All right, thank you. And the next item on our agenda is discussion possible action on zone change application AB 1335 from commercial C2 to recreational vehicle folks long.
Aaron Stouts.
Yeah, applicant Aaron Stout.
And he's present on the video. He's the phone number that's there. So if you could unmute that. So. Sure. Aaron, I know you can hear, but when the mayor calls or if you wish to speak at the time when the mayor recognizes you, would you state your name for the record when you do that? Thanks.
Okay, thank you. This is Aaron here. So I wanted to, obviously everybody I think here knows what we're looking to do and what the issues are. As far as the less than 10 acres. And I wanted to, I guess, start off by posing a couple of questions. So as we know, I'm looking to do an RV park on 5 acres that, is right across the Plains Drive from our current project, the Gooseberry Lodges, the tiny cabins, and seeking to do that as one park. And I know that, the issues with the fact that they don't have the same tax ID. And I've already talked to the attorney, Sean, about that. Obviously, it's not a preferable, location to just do a standard approval of this. But I wanted to pose the question here. That we all know that at one point this lot was all a little over a 10-acre lot. About 10 years ago, Harold Merritt and Terry Robbins came in and donated the section of road that split their 10-acre lot or 10.2 or 3-acre lot into 2 5-acre lots, and then they were issued 2 separate tax IDs from the original 1 tax ID. The question I want to pose is, had they known at the time that they decided to donate a portion of their property to the town to have that road put in, that at any future date, the town would put in place a zoning ordinance in this case, the 10-acre minimum, that would effectively make it extremely more difficult for them to sell their property, would they have done that at the time? Now, I've talked to Harold and Terry about this quite a bit. From what my understanding is, no, they wouldn't have sacrificed, they wouldn't have donated a piece of property, split their property in two, because if that zoning ordinance hadn't been put in of the minimum 10 acres, they would have already sold their other piece of property. I would have bought it by now, if not somebody else. I know that other people have expressed interest in it as well. So it seems like the town, you know, I understand the need for putting in the zoning ordinance, but the town could make a choice by saying, okay, we do acknowledge that Harold and Terry did the town a favor. They did themselves a favor, or they thought they were doing themselves a favor at the time by having two separate lots, and now it's only hurting them, because the only demand for property 5 acres or bigger is typically for, you know, either a tiny park or a tiny cabin park or an RV park. Nobody's looking to buy 5 acres for a restaurant, or, you know, nobody's looking to really do anything else out here. And so I know that there's ways that the town could work with us to make this either one lot. In my discussions with Sean Guzman, he said that it's not typical for a town to combine two pieces of property into one property, do a merger, if they're separated by a road. But considering the circumstances of the fact that this used to be a one-piece property, and that the property was donated to the town to put in the road to solve a ingress-egress issue, an access issue off of the highway, and, you know, from what I understand, the town could, if they wanted to, it's not illegal for the town to do a merger of these two properties to ensure that we do have 10 acres in one property. Like I said, I already know, and I fully understand that that's not the typical way of doing things, but it seems like the right way to do this if, you know, if we were to do it. That way I could never sell off one property and still keep the other. You'd be coming in and saying, okay, we do recognize that, you know, it did solve a major problem for us. Let's go ahead and work with Aaron and Terry and Harold to make this happen so they can finally get rid of this property after years and years. And you know, we can do this. To me, it seems like the right thing to do, but that's kind of my argument for that. I'd like to hear other people's thoughts on that.
Mayor, I have a question. Yeah, Sean, go ahead.
All right, I'm going to try. Can everybody hear me? Because I'm not using my computer microphone. Good. Okay, so my question would be to, and I'm posing it to both Aaron and the council, is on that particular parcel of property, if both sides of that dedicated roadway were to be combined into one parcel again, is that roadway necessary for access, or could, since it's going to be one project, could they access it off the road? With it being one parcel, we don't have to worry about a cross access agreement there. If the town were to abandon it, it would go to the adjacent property owners of the piece. So it essentially would be one large parcel, and does it need to have that roadway bisecting it, or could they just have access from the adjacent roadways?
Yeah, there's no adjacent roadway. It's been abandoned, and that came down past his cabins. They're kind of a wedge shape, and as you get down the far end, it was intersecting the highway at an angle. And because of that unsafe, this was their fix of how, it's kind of like our Main Street realignment, where they're changing that to benefit the properties there as well. And so, you know, yeah, abandoning the road would be an option that we have.
But here's the deal, though, too. You got a lot of people that road serves. And I think that at the very least, they should have a say in whether or not that road's abandoned. I mean, it's the road to their house, okay? They can go a little bit further down the road and take a right.
Yeah, abandoning is not an option at all. The other issue, it opens us up for the future. The next guy that comes in says, I want to put in a 5 acre park now. And, you know, because it's that's what that would be. It was approval of an RV park at 5 acres. And we can argue why they were doing the 5 acres versus 10 acres. And, you know, do we have to have it 5 acres? We could have that argument. But it's what the ordinance says today. And today, it says we have to have 10 acres. And our it's at the time that they put that roadway in there, they were probably thinking this will be great because we'll have 2 5-acre pieces we can sell that have immediate access on the road, the way that all worked out. Then they, when they put the pipeline in, it had a, the pipeline was brought down to there. They had a fire hydrant put in. I mean, there's a lot of expenses that went on into, as far as improvement goes, to put in that access to make that property on both sides of the road more valuable because of it. But, you know, even if we prove this, say, well, what are we going to do about the traffic issue? Even if we found a way to see beyond this, you know, you have now fifth wheels. Well, how are they going to check in? Where are they going to check in? What about the width of the road? A fifth wheel gets down there and they're trying to turn left, and now no one can turn right because a fifth wheel is blocking them and the road's not wide enough for it. You don't have a, we have someone that's contacted the town about this Desert Rose property, and those turn lanes belong to the Desert Rose owner. And so at the time that we do that, where's the turn lanes going to come in? The slowdown lanes and acceleration lanes. And so there's quite a few issues to me that are on deck for that particular property regarding the ability to even begin to approve this. And
this is Aaron again. I understand as far as, you know, any improvements to roads, obviously those are issues that can be worked through under a developer agreement. And I'm not necessarily concerned about those because roads can always be widened and access can always be improved. And, you know, going back to the original argument, at one point it seemed like this road Plains Drive going in, it seemed like it, you know, at one point it did serve well for both the town and for Harold and Terry, but now it's, you know, it's still serving the town in a positive way, but now it's actually negatively affecting Terry and Harold to be able to sell their property. Like I was saying, you know, I don't think that they would have donated that property had they known that an ordinance, a zoning ordinance, would be placed. Basically, I think they would have said, hey, we want to keep this all 1 acre. We'll put in the road, we'll donate it or sell it, whatever, but we don't want 2 tax IDs. You know, if they knew that this is the predicament that they were going to be in. And so I guess I understand that the 5 acres is still an issue, but I don't think that it would set a precedent for other people to come in and say, I want a 5-acre RV park, because the town does have the ability, from my understanding. Like I said, I understand that it's not a typical situation, but they do still have the ability to merge these 2 properties into one, so that we do have 1 tax ID. And that at any future point, if anybody ever came and said, hey, there's a 5-acre RV park, the town would say, no, it's a 10-acre mixed-use park on both sides of the road, and it's one business, and it's one property. And so it certainly seems like the town working with me and Harold and Terry to do this by saying, hey, you know, yeah, the property was donated for that road, and it's a great access now, but now it's, you know, again, it's only hurting them to sell this other property. Can the town, if the town chooses under its own discretion, can they merge these 2 properties into 1 property, all other issues aside?
Aaron, this is Paul Edwards, and I'm not inclined to agree with that. I mean, sure. I mean, it was a very good thing that they donated that road, but nobody can see into the future. I certainly can. If I could have done that, I would have bought Microsoft at $10 or whatever. But nobody knows what's going to happen. The fact of the matter is, this is now, and we've got ordinances that we took oaths to protect. I don't I don't see it working out that way as far as getting, to me, it still looks like a 5-acre RV park. I'm not sure what the other council members think.
Well, I'm wondering if we need to table this and maybe have a closed session to discuss it more with the attorney and with each other and see what everybody thinks.
Well, I want to be up front and answer Aaron's question. Yes is the answer, that we can buy, you know, a developer agreement, probably combine those two properties, but there's still too many other unanswered questions regarding those turn lanes and all those issues. And we entered into an agreement with Aaron Stout on his current project, and he's promised us that at some point in the future they would, you know, add those deceleration, acceleration lanes. Yet in a meeting that we had, subsequently, we were informed by his attorney that we can't actually make him do that. And so it's not inclined to want to try and go down that path again of agreeing something in a developer agreement that they can later say that, no, that's an exaction and you can't make us do that. And it could be that hammered out, but I'm along with Mike McLaughlin. Maybe we need to have a further discussion on this and get some additional advice on this from Sean.
Mayor, could I, Aaron, do you have access to the chat box, or are you just calling in on your phone?
I tried to get on with the video, but I was having issues, so I'm just on my phone.
Okay, then because I want you to be aware of what's in the chat box and you're not able to see, Tish Lisby did send a chat to everyone that says, Terry and Harold gained access to water and a fire hydrant that would never have been done if the road access wasn't donated. They divided their property because they made their property more marketable, a point that was made by one of the council members, I think. And also, if that road wasn't there, would Aaron have bought at the end of Apple Valley Way with the only access being across from the station? So I just wanted you to be aware that those comments were there. Now, I just do want to tell the council that the decision, tax ID numbers are assigned by the county, so we don't have control over that. If we were talking about a development agreement or some type of agreement that recognized the roadway as having been donated by the previous property owner and some special circumstances, we would still have to record something on two different parcels that made it so that they were always one. They could only be sold as one. They couldn't be parceled off, you know, in 1 5-acre piece sold to one company, another one sold to another one. I just want to make you aware of that too, Aaron, that I'm not saying that that's the way the town council is going, but it's not the town that actually assigns those tax ID numbers. And so more than likely, I just think it would be very, very odd if the county put the same tax ID number on both sides of a dedicated roadway. But if there was any type of agreement, it would have to include, it would have to be recorded against both properties, and they would have to remain in the same ownership. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes. Yeah, I understand all of that. And I understand, you know, other points that you made about, you know, the benefit of putting in that roadway. No, now it didn't take that. It didn't take putting in Plains Drive for them to gain access to water. The water was right there. It could have, you know, come further down. Since at that time it was, I believe it was still a dirt road, maybe it wasn't, but so there's no water that is inside of Plains Drive. It's all on Apple Valley Drive. So it, you know, yes, at the time that is when they put that in there. But yeah, my main point or purpose in coming to you is to see if there is any possible way to put in some type of an agreement or, you know, or to merge those properties into one. I can, you know, I'll call the county and see if that's even a possibility. But if it were a possibility, is this something that we could even pursue? You know, getting around one issue just to be, I guess, confronted with the unpopularity of it or whatever it may be, and it's still being denied. I don't want to keep on chasing this if it doesn't really matter what type of agreement we can come to. So I guess that's my question. Can we come to some type of an agreement to either merge those properties or to retain ownership of them always? And then going beyond that, is this a viable option if that were the case?
For today's meeting, I think you make good arguments on this, Aaron. I think that for right now we should probably get some answers to more questions, and I've kind of been open about my view on it. It could be that you and I have another conversation about this, and like to probably have some further discussion and with our legal counsel as well. And Mike, do you want
to? I was going to ask Aaron, what does he plan to do about the problem of the roadway, the dedication of the turn lanes, et cetera?
Well, I mean, answering another concern earlier that the mayor had made, if it was determined by UDOT or by the town that we did need to extend those turn lanes to accommodate for big fifth wheels, or if we needed to widen Plains Drive for access, or whatever the improvements be, we're not going to refuse to do those. I mean, that would be part of an agreement. I would agree to do whatever. We would have to determine if that was necessary, and then we would absolutely agree to do that if we were to pursue this.
Might be an expensive proposition is all I'm saying. I think we talked about that.
Sure. Yeah, I understand.
And if the road was abandoned to combine the lots, how would the residents that live up there, what would their access be, and would it be an inconvenience to them?
Well, I had never even proposed abandoning Plains Drive. I had never even mentioned that. If we abandoned Plains Drive and had to, put in access somewhere else, I don't think it would be a viable option. I'm more so just, obviously we want to keep Plains Drive there. It serves the people that live on Apple Valley Drive, and it serves us. I don't think that was ever even on an option. So,
I think Mike, you mentioned you want to table us for now. Do you want to make a motion on that? Any other questions for Aaron while we have them? And Aaron, I think we need to have some further discussion on it, and I'll have some more discussion.
Sure.
With Sean, we'll try and bring this up the next meeting and give you
And I would like him to be able to go ahead and get a hold of the state, the county, and figure out what he can do there, because if we're going to do our homework and look at what might or might not work based on that that decision of what happens with the county, I think he can do that homework of looking that up and deciding whether that's doable or not, as we're trying to listen to his arguments and try to see if we can come up with a solution. So I think I would like to table this discussion on the action on the zone change for Apple Valley 1335 from commercial C2 to the recreational vehicle park zone.
Is that a motion?
Until further notice.
Is that a motion or?
You gotta make that motion.
Anybody have a second on that?
Good.
And is there any other further discussion from anybody before we vote?
Well, I think we should have a special meeting where we all get together and discuss the issues that we've been talking about so we can clarify the air a little bit. I'm a little confused on a lot of things they want to do and not do. So I think we all need to get together and discuss those issues and clarify those first before we decide what we're going to do.
Agree.
Vote.
Mike McLaughlin, aye.
Debbie Kopp, aye.
Paul Edwardson, aye.
Danny Bass, aye.
Marty Lisenby, aye. Motion carries. Yeah, so we'll, you do some homework. We're going to continue to do some homework, Aaron, and let's try to attack this on our next meeting again. We'll move
this. Hey, sounds good.
Thanks for your input.
Thank you.
Next item on the agenda is number three, public hearing on vacating a portion of Main Street. This would be we took a vote on this and Ben discovered that we have to have a public hearing in order to vacate the old road. And whatever we do, the motion should include that. Let's see, what would be the right verbiage on that? That
the vacation would not occur subject to. That's good, I like that.
So the vacation would not occur unless the, I'll come up with the verbiage here in a second.
The property for the new roadway is acquired.
Okay, so we have not signed the documents on the new roadway. And so subject to them signing those documents, then this would be vacated, and basically that was it. So I'd like to open this up for public comment. I know that we've got someone on the phone, 9366. I'm not sure who it is. I'll unmute you just in case you decide you want to say something now. And then you can chime in, unless you know how to unmute yourself. I'd like to choose anyone that is on the phone. So. 9366. So I've got you unmuted right now. Did you have anything to say on the vacation on this public hearing?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
I didn't.
Okay, I'll mute you it's, back up then and
Thanks.
All right. I think that's actually the sound for when is what it sounded like to me. Anyway, anybody have any comments about vacating that part of the road, a portion of Main Street, back to the landowners?
No, sir.
Here, do you see any other call-ins? No text or chats?
No one present here, Mayor.
So I don't see, there's no one present in the room, just Sean and I. So do we have a motion?
Close the meeting. Open,
oh, let's close. Yeah, hearing. We're going to close the public hearing on vacating the portion of Main Street. And discussion on that vacating is item number four, discussion possible action on ordinance 0-2020, vacating a portion of Main Street. And we got two X's in there, meaning they probably haven't come up with a number for that ordinance yet. But does somebody want to make a motion on that?
I make a motion that we accept ordinance 0-2020-XX vacating a portion of Main Street.
Second.
Subject to the approval by the landowners of the new right-of-ways.
Acquisition
of the new right-of-ways. Can we add that to the motion?
Yes, subject to the acquisition of the right-of-ways from the landowners.
That clean enough? Okay. All right.
The second agrees.
Second again, Danny? Okay. How about a vote then?
Mike.
Debbie Kopp, aye.
Mike McLaughlin, aye.
Paul Edwardson, aye.
Danny Bass, aye.
And Marty Lisenby, aye. Next item on our agenda is a discussion and possible action on town lighting ordinance 0-2020-03. Have you guys had a chance to read through the massive documents that we've included for you?
Yes, I love the revision. I think a great job was done on it. It makes it plain and simple where this is allowed and this is not allowed.
Are there any changes or edits that you would like to see?
Can I add just for clarity, within the packet, this is Ben Billingsley, within the packet are two different proposals for the lighting ordinance. I see Debbie holding up the one that's the second half. So the first half within the packet is the recommendation from the Planning Commission, which so then there's been a revision of that. That's the second half within the packet, just for clarification.
The first one had many duplications still in it.
And it starts chapter 26, exterior lighting, title and purpose. And we had discussed in our last meeting, you know, for Sean's purpose, I don't know if you have a packet.
I don't have it. I was here when we went through it.
So okay. Give you this part right here. We didn't print this in color, but let me borrow this for just a quick second. This is how we recommend the title to be read. This was how the Planning Commission, I brought that over from their verbiage over there. Basically, we talked about is 18 months to give people enough time to be in compliance. We talked about doing 24 months. Do you have any recommendation on that? We're basically saying that we want people to be in compliance and we're giving that time frame. Is that a reasonable amount of time in your opinion to bring in lighting up to snuff?
Yes, I think I think 18 months is a reasonable amount of time. At the time that it comes near that expiration date, you all can reconsider that if for some reason you think there's some circumstances that you weren't aware of that can come up. So you still have that ability to do
financial
that.
Hardships and
those types of things. Yeah, maybe some types of lighting you didn't think of that would cost a lot more to replace that quickly. So you still have that.
And the one that comes into my mind is the gas station, you know, where you have that canopy lighting that is probably overdone, but at the same time, it could also be, you know, cost prohibitive to even replace that this time.
Right.
And so.
And all plus, I think another thing that needs to be considered is as we reach the deadline, we should probably have, a light warden like they had in World War II in London. You go out and check the lights to who's in compliance and who isn't, so that they have a special notice that, hey, you've got this amount of time to change those lights.
I don't know about you guys. It sounds to me like we have a volunteer.
Sure, why not?
Yeah.
I got to get one of those helmets, though.
John, I got a question. So we're saying that nobody is grandfathered in to this ordinance when it comes to law, let's say, like the service station, for example, and that?
I'll clarify for Sean that I just handed it to him. I had planned on him going over this before the meeting, but you know we've been busy doing with bigger fish to fry, shall we say? And he's glanced at it briefly, but
the 18 months to me indicates that after that everybody needs to be in compliance. Is that correct?
That's how my impression of it, and that's our intent.
And you know, it's a funny thing. Rocky Mountain still runs a couple of lights that haven't burned out yet in the town, apparently. And so
they've replaced them too. When they burnt out, they replaced them, but they didn't upgrade them.
Right, but they either have to be notified that, you know, you're in non-compliance with the night sky ordinance, or take them down, or BB gun. I didn't say that, did I?
Yeah.
But something has to be done with those because they're very bright and very obnoxious.
Yeah, are you guys comfortable with the way the lighting's worded for their compliance as well? I mean, do we need to spend any more time, you know?
I think we're good.
Eating that
I like up? It.
I think the thing I like about this one is that it pretty much says that if we can see your light bulb flare, then it should be shielded. And it's And that's really what I want. So you get people up on a bluff or, you know, someone that's, you know, has the eve lighting in the gable of their house and it looks like headlights from a distance, you know, that kind of stuff. It's addressing all of those issues better than what the Planning Commission, I think, had passed. I think this is just better overall for the purpose of what we're trying to do. And it could be we've got some mistakes in here. It's hard to get these perfect, but we can always come back and fix that too. But anyway, anybody want to make a motion or you got any more discussion on it or any issues that you want to see redlined in this?
And maybe possibly when it's passed and it becomes, you know, a new ordinance that so people can say, oh, we didn't know about it. Maybe make a notice on the water bill at 12 months, let them know they have a year left. And then at 6 months, you got 6 months left to get in compliance.
Yeah, we can do something sooner than that. We could put it out that this was recently passed and 18 months compliance. And, you know, we've got some coronavirus stuff going out in this month's water bill that's gone in a couple days. Maybe it's something in a month or two when we don't have something like coronavirus to talk about, we could include it in a future mailing to help educate people. It's also one we can write on our website as a new one and try to get the education going ahead of time. And, right. You know, basically we're just saying that if you've got a motion sensor, it can't be tripped by a car driving by the road. You know, it can only be tripped if someone walks on your property. And so I think it's passing on the responsibility to people to not have light trespass from their spotlights or their motion sensors. And I think those items are addressed in here pretty well. And I think it'll having a time limit of 18 months helps bring us around to compliance a little bit quicker to where, you know, that goes by pretty quick and then we'll be able to have some compliance for our night skies on these issues. So.
Okay.
A motion then, or any more comments about it?
I move that we approve Town Lighting Ordinance 002020-03.
Second.
And vote?
Mike McLaughlin, aye.
Debbie Kopp, aye.
Paul Edwardson, aye.
Danny Bass, aye.
Marty Eglesby, aye. And all right, appreciate your help on that. And our next item for discussion selection is CIB grant. We voted on CIB grant that we would apply for a grant to help us pay for our application process, which is quite extensive with FEMA. And it takes a lot of engineering. The estimate that we got is around $30,000. The amount of money that we are setting aside for this, because we could have unknowns in there, that we've set aside about $40,000 to make sure that we've got enough room in our budget. We were able to secure a grant from CIB for $20,000, and we have matching funds available that we can spend out of our storm drain money for an additional $20,000, up to $20,000, and that will help us fund the FEMA grant that we want to try to apply for to help us with our flooding in town. And so it's like getting half off, you know, getting a grant from the CIB. It's a great day to be able to do that. We do have a contract in your file that is from CIB that authorizes me to sign this. And that's what we're looking for today, is if you guys have looked over that and you're okay that I sign this off, we just need to make a motion and do a vote on that. Anybody have any questions on this?
I'll make a motion that we accept the CIB grant approval.
I second.
And vote.
Mike McLaughlin, aye.
Debbie Kopp, aye.
Paul Edwardson, aye.
Danny Bass, aye.
And Marty Lindsay, aye. The last item, I'm going to kind of turn this over to Ben. I think if Ben can, we basically, in a nutshell, have some budget allocations that we want to affect. Basically, you know, we've spent a little bit more money in some budgetary items, and we've spent less money in other budgetary items, and we're just moving some money in our budget. We haven't changed any of the bottom line numbers, so it doesn't really require an amendment, but it does require a town council vote to approve that it's okay for Ben to do that. And so in the shaded areas, you want to explain this in your own words, Ben? I'll have to let you have the driver's seat on this.
Yeah, I'd be happy to. In fact, the budget that was included as part of the packet is a little bit challenging to read. Would it be possible to share the screen here? Can you enable that?
Yeah.
When I click it, it says the host disabled participant screen sharing. I don't know if that's possible to enable mid-meeting.
Try it. Just made you the host, so you should be able to do a screen share now.
Okay.
Behind you is a monster, you know.
Oh, she's wearing a bag on her head. Very nice.
The unknown comic.
Oh, this is much better.
Okay, perfect. So we have... basically, like the mayor said, in a town, now, just as a quick introduction, a city is able to allocate funds with department heads, and the finance director is able to do that without council approval. But in a town, anytime that there's any change, even shifting within a category, that has to go through council approval, which I think is great because with a small town, small budget, a lot of oversight, it's important for council members to know what's going on. So I am happy to go through this line by line if that's, there's a handful of allocations.
I think the thing that you can explain is like that we're decreasing or increasing, and the red is increasing or decreasing, just, you know.
Just kind of more structurally, yeah. So some of these allocation variances are just shifting from one to another. So admin, employee benefits, and retirement, the total between the two is the same. It was just a miscalculation on how that was put together. A green cell indicates that this is a budget decrease. So we're decreasing the overall budget. And by the way, as a side note, I didn't make any adjustments to revenues. There's no reallocations between revenue categories. This is only for expenditures. So we have the first two, I mean, for administration, it's just a reallocation between categories. And there's notes across each of the budget categories. If there's any questions, feel free to chime in. But here we can see that, for example, I'm by way of example, administration postage. It ended up that we purchased 14 months worth of stamps in this calendar year. So it just required an increase in the overall budget. Whereas on the audit, our audit fees actually came in a little bit lower than anticipated. And so we were able to decrease that budget. So we know that this value is the final value for the year. Another one is our credit card processing fees are significantly higher than budgeted and higher than what we've seen in the past. What's going on with this is we have a number of people that have wanted to pay permit fees, building permit fees with a credit card. And so that costs the town significantly more money, but we do charge the fee just to offset that. So it's offset by a revenue category as well. Our travel reimbursement we've reduced because with COVID-19, there's not going to be any travel for the remainder of the year from administration. On elections, we budgeted $2,500 for our elections. And with the county administering that, it actually came in significantly less. So that was a good financial decision. We were able to scrape some money out of that budget category and reallocate it elsewhere. Under the fire department, this is something that I think is important. So here in fire equipment maintenance and repairs, we included an estimated amount to replace the tires on the engine. And in speaking with our fire chief about that, he feels like it would be better to set aside funds for a new engine as opposed to replacing the tires on our already non-compliant engine. And so that was just an allocation that was removing money from equipment maintenance and repairs to fire capital outlay. And another major one in fire is the reduction of fire gear. So here we budgeted just over $12,000, and that's being reduced to $2,000. And the reason for that is the $12,000 expenditure was budgeted in anticipation of a grant, which was not received. And so we are allocating those funds out of fire gear, just for clarity, just so that we know what our actual budgeted amount, our current budgeted amount for that fire gear is. Now, I think between roads and public works, it's going to make the most sense just to speak generally about this. We've had a lot of volunteer labor this year, which has just been awesome, where the town is paying for fuel for members of the community that have heavy equipment to work on the town roads. And so where we're getting free labor and only paying for the equipment fuel, that's reducing our labor costs, but it's increasing our anticipated fuel costs. But I think it's a better bang for the buck for the town. And that's just kind of very generally all the changes. There were some other minor changes in public works equipment, maintenance and whatnot. Another category that was increased fairly significantly was road equipment repairs. And we have some, essentially each piece of the equipment needs some repairs in the near future. And we're anticipating possibly needing to do that within this fiscal year. So some of the money that we've taken out of other categories is going into road equipment maintenance and repairs. Solid waste service, this one's pretty simple. It was budgeted a little low, and we're anticipating it coming up a little higher than last year. And then as the last one, we had anticipated a fund transfer to fund balance, a small amount there. This is really just a placeholder where I removed the $10,000 anticipated grant. Because this isn't a budget amendment, we cannot change, or we will not be changing the overall revenues and expenditures, like has already been explained. And so this one is just merely a placeholder, removing that grant, anticipated grant money, and moving it to a placeholder account. So that said, are there any questions on the budget while I'm still sharing the screen here?
No, Ben, thank you.
I think my last comment on it would be that the town's budgeted really tight. There's a lot of categories. There's really no budgetary slack built into the town's budget. And it's a good thing for the town. It's really good to run a tight ship. The problem is that, you know, a minor unanticipated repair can really throw that off. So I think a best practice here when we're running a tight budget like we are would be to revisit this maybe quarterly. We do discuss the budget on a quarterly basis, but I think it would, any changes are needed, that we would do that quarterly. So that would be my recommendation for the future.
Thank you, Ben.
All right. Anyone might want to make a motion on that?
I make a motion that we accept the budgetary allocations as stated in our packet this evening.
I'll second that.
Any other discussion? Are we okay with it? All right, let's go ahead and vote then.
Debbie Cobb, aye.
Paul Edwards, and aye.
Danny Bass, aye.
Marty Lisby, aye. So the I'm not sure Is Rich Olsovsky still on?
No, yeah.
So,
you got to unmute him, though.
Yeah, no problem. We'll get to him here in a second. But events committee, you know, all the events for the town are canceled. We likely won't have another event through the end of the year, calendar year, that is. I seriously doubt when we even hit July or August, even into October, I seriously doubt we're going to be having any events at all for the rest of the year, including ice cream socials, Founders Day. You know, they're pretty much not going to be, this is going to be fresh enough that we're not going to be wanting to be cooking food and inviting kids out to play in bounce houses with all this possible contamination that can still happen even through October. So did you have any comments, Tish, or are you okay if we skip that?
Gosh, I'm going to have so much free time.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think it's a safe way to go. You know, we'll reach out and see what we can do for citizens on a smaller scale.
And Planning Commission, I don't see Janet on. Fire Department, the fire chief's out on the call. Let's see, Denny Bass, do you have anything you want to share on Big Plains? Danny Bass?
No, I have nothing on Big Plains Water or Sewer because I haven't got any remarks back from any of the people that are working on development tonight.
We do have a meeting scheduled for tomorrow for Big Plains. And, so we'll be checking in with them tomorrow on that. Code enforcement, Rich Olsovsky, do you have anything you want to share? I'm going to unmute him because he's not unmuted. So hang on a second.
There we go. That looks better. Yeah, I got a couple things to say. March 12th, I put a stop work order on a piece of property that didn't have a permit. It was the Ackerman, I believe, A-L-K-E-M-A, Amy, at 2142 South, 1560 East. That's out by Cedar Point. They took the red tag down. And so I called the sheriff department, and Matt said he'd come on out. So Matt took a drive-by the next day, and the sign was gone. And then the following day, Richardson called me up. He's also an officer. I've met him a few times. And what he recommended was that the sheriff department really can't do anything, sort of, I guess. So he said to give Rachel a call. He said Rachel would be the one to follow through with it. And then I talked to Ben yesterday, and Ben said that that he had evidently contacted Rachel. But the response will be a week or so off. You know how the courts are. And I said that's fine as long as a notice gets sent out to them. They've done quite a bit of construction there. It's right on the highway. When I was out there, I took a number of pictures when I put the red tag up there, according to the sheriff's department. And then I took pictures of the workers out there working on the particular day. There's also no fire suppression system out there. And evidently the house they previously owned in Hilldale had burnt down. So I think the fire chief was checking into that. And so we're at kind of a standstill unless the prosecutor, unless Rachel gets back to us. So that's where we stand with that property. The other thing is just, I guess the old fire station is still on hold as far as a cleanup or them being served. I know the courts are kind of backed up now and things, but just so we can get some notices out. And then the one thing is Lloyd Fisher up in this area. I've had some neighbors talking to me about that. That's the vacant lot where they're using that to dump some excess buildings. They were supposed to be in court on March 3rd. And so Ben was checking into that to see why they didn't show up or if it was canceled or what the status is on that one there. And then the last one is we're still working on that across 59 where they built onto a connex as far as getting a permit or a set of plans or coming down with something. That's been in the baking for a month or so. So hopefully we can get some input on that itself and see if we could at least get a drawing on it.
Yeah, just
and I get
he was signing off on that. He said it was built well enough that he didn't have any concerns over it and felt like we could go ahead and issue a permit on it. So.
So what you're saying that he's getting the permit on the building he built onto the connex?
Yeah. He's inspected the way it was done and felt like it was sound enough. He didn't have any concerns on it. There's no power to it. It's just a lean-to hooked onto the connex. So they need to get a permit from us, but he's checked it out and felt like it was acceptable. So
will there be a cost to that? At least we'd like to pick up some money for the permit itself.
Oh, yeah, there's a cost for the permit, yeah. Yeah, we had to have him go out, so we'll end up paying him some money. But it's probably going to be $300, $351. I'm not sure what our minimum is, so I'll let Ben figure that out.
That's about all I have.
Okay. Roads and storm drains. I know Denny and Jerry got out there. But I got an email from someone out in Gooseberry saying thank you for having nice roads out there. So it's noticed.
Well, we'll be back out tomorrow morning or midday, and then we're having the grader right now, the blade fixed on the grader, so we'll start grading probably this weekend or first part of next week if it doesn't rain.
Thank you, roads crew.
Amen.
I'm not sure what Jerry's on this iPad right here, but he's hiding. Thanks, Jerry. anyway, all right. So the next item on our agenda are public comments. Does anybody want to make a public comment? I don't see any chats. I don't see anyone else logged in that's not pictured here.
There's one phone number, Mayor, was the caller that spoke earlier.
Wynn. Hey, Wynn, can you look into the camera for a second? Is that 9366 where you're getting your sound? Yeah, it looks like it is.
Yes, it is.
Okay, so I just want to make sure it wasn't another person. I thought it was you earlier. So anyway, I just want to make
sure. Yeah.
Does anybody have any public comments they'd like to make? If not, we'll close public comments and...
You know, Marty, yes. I don't know how many people listen on YouTube, but I would encourage anybody listening to go ahead and check in on this venue because it's really the closest thing we have to a public discussion without being close to each other. But I would suggest you use that phone number that you got on the website and call in.
I think Ben's he's directing these meetings as far as setting them up and transmitting that information so we don't have any snafus on it. And I love the way he boiled it down to just call here or click on it here, you know, and it's
pretty easy.
This particular meeting, we had our YouTube information out there. I've asked them to not put that on future meetings because this is our preferred venue for people to check out. And this is live streaming to YouTube, but we wanted to invite people to hear so they can make comments in a public comment section. So anyway, anybody else have anything?
I think Mayor and Ben, you guys did a great job getting all the kinks worked out. Tonight went really smooth.
Yeah. Thank you.
It keeps us safe. I don't know about you guys, but I'm freaked out enough that I'd prefer not to have anybody even come to my house, to be honest with you. So
And so given that, I think it's time for that. I guess what I'll do is close public comments first, and then there's a request for closed session. With the separation that we have, it's challenging to create a closed session on a video. And so I don't think that we want to do a closed session.
That's right, Mayor. If we need to do it in the future, if we need to, then we can adjourn to the closed session and do it by phone call, and that's way it's secure.
All right. So for this moment, we'll forgo a request for closed session because we haven't practiced technology to be able to do that. And so the last item on the agenda.
I move that we close the meeting.
All right. That's what I'm looking for. Anybody got a second on that?
Second.
And vote.
Mike, Debbie Cobb, aye.
Paul Edwards, aye.
Barry Bass, aye.
Let's be aye. All right. Thanks, you guys.
You guys.
Okay, if I send them home now, are you worried about me sending them home or you want me to keep them here? I don't think she heard me.
I don't think she she's still mad because I didn't come home and,
yeah. Oh. Yeah, stick Marty in the quarantine.
I don't think you're going home.
She's not even smiling at us.
You can kiss your Wendy's spicy chicken sandwich goodbye.
I'm bringing home.